thank you for tuning in for this broadcast of Power Walk. We're so glad that you decided to spend some time with us. Reverend Kennings loves sharing his deep convictions and passion for the Word of God with you weekdays right here at this same time. Today, pastor and speaker Reverend Paul Kennings continues teaching on the series Family Living, God's Style. Free will, a wonderful concept, but this is what caused sin to come into a perfect world to begin with. Teaching us about how we can submit that will to God in order to safeguard our families and homes, here's Dr. Kennings with part two of the message, Terror Alert, Safeguard Your Marriage.
Do you know that there is a terrorist out there trying to destroy your family every second of the day? Bible says in Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, Satan is going to heaven day and night to bring accusations against the saints of God. That's the kind of example we see with the book of Job and how that totally affected Job's life in a very negative way. Folks, there's a terrorist out there, you know. We've got CIA and agencies we probably don't know about, FBI, all these different things, Homeland Security, to take care of terrorists that are doing everything they can to come into our country. All these different departments of government, they're constantly trying to tear down computers, and they have to hire all these people that are just going there and know how to fight off these terroristic actions every day. What are we doing to keep this terrorist from tearing up the lives of our children, who are out there hearing all kinds of things all the time, who turn on the television and hear all kinds of things that can damage their lives? It is so quick and easy to absorb. What about our marriages? Are we taking time for it? Are we running around trying to chase that dollar so much that one marriage partner is coming in while another one is going out to work, and no time to date, no time to talk, no time to talk about the bills and who's picking up and who's dropping off, but talk about each other, pray for each other, see what each other is going through, and share each other's load in the midst of the day? What are we doing to keep this terrorist out? He wants to destroy homes. He did not come to Adam and Eve until there was an Adam and Eve. He didn't come when Adam was in the cool of the garden talking to God. He came when there was an Adam and Eve. And look at how he destroyed a family and caused murder to take place. A brother against a brother. Murder. Satan can damage the family that much. Folks, we talked about this yesterday, and I pray we would develop this strategy of keeping Satan out of our lives, because he would come not only to the Word of God that we talked about yesterday, but he would also come to what is natural to us. Here is people born in a state of perfection, and he comes to them because he knows enough to know what they have a natural tendency for, since they are made in human flesh. He knows it, and so he comes and taps that. Well, folks, Satan has had our flesh before we got saved. If he'll know how to tap the flesh of Adam and Eve, could you imagine how much more he knows how to tap our flesh? Because the things that are in our flesh, he helped put it there before we got saved. Watch what he does to get Eve to move in the direction that he needs her to. Verse 3 of Genesis chapter 3. As a matter of fact, let's look at the response of Eve in verse 2. He says, "The woman answered the serpent, 'We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. It is only about the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden that God said, you shall not eat of it or even touch it,' she added that, 'lest you die.' Left out, 'Surely you will die.'" See, it wasn't nothing magical about the fruit, nothing magical about the tree. It was their will that God was focused on. That's why he wants to renew our minds so we do his perfect will. He gave man a free will. When he made us in his image, he made us with a capacity to love. God doesn't have fingers and eyes and nose and toes. He made us with a capacity to love. God is love. He made us with a capacity to live forever, whether it's hell or heaven. He made us with the capacity to choose to do what we want to do when we want to do it, because he has a sovereign will. So in order for man to come under the will of God, man has to surrender the will that God has freely given him so that he freely decides to come under God. Because God made him in his image. God freely chooses to love man. He freely chooses to give man Genesis to Revelation to expose to man what his will. But God is not going to jump down in this garden after he explained himself and say, Adam, all of man, you can't be quiet like this. Eve, don't do this, you know. God is not going to jump out the skies and say, oh, read the Bible today. God is going to use people like myself and all the people that God has used to bless your life in ministry, whether it's on the radio or at your church, to impact us. He is speaking so loud to us and trying to reach us because we are in the same position as Eve. We have to decide, since he gave us a free will, to surrender our lives to him. When we don't choose to do that, we've allowed the terrorists to come in. His way is the only way. It is a narrow way that leads to life. So if I choose not to obey God, I have made a choice. If I choose to not do what God says to do, I have chosen, when I knew what to do, to not do it. I've sinned. I don't have to go out and do all the wrong stuff. I just have to choose not do what he says to do when he told me to do it. I could just put God on standby and have allowed Satan a way in. You know, I had a kid who, you know, he was crying in jail. You know, it's interesting when I used to be in the juvenile probation system when I was a probation officer. Your kids will come in all tough, you know, and they all that, you know, and then they come in jail and they crying. And this kid was crying, but something about it made me go up to his cell and say, man, what is wrong? He said, sir, I didn't do this. Well, and he said, no, I know you heard that all the time. I know you heard, but I didn't do it. I said, what do you mean you didn't do it? Tell me your story. He says, oh, man, I know they were going in the store to steal, but I just stood outside the store. I wasn't about to steal. I ain't no thief, okay? I just stood outside the store. I said, did you know they were going in? Yes, I knew they were going in. Did you stop them from going in? No, I didn't stop them from going. I mean, if they want to do that, that's their deal. I'm not going to do anything. I said, when they come out, did you walk with them down the road when they were walking away from the store after they stole? Yeah, I walked with them. I didn't run with the guy who took off running, but I was walking with them. I said, you stole the candy then? Oh, no, I didn't steal it, sir. I didn't steal it. Yes, you did. You knew what they were doing. You didn't leave. Based on the law, you stole the candy. Man, I didn't steal the candy. Yes, you did. You see, folks, the Bible says narrow is the way that leads to life. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Now, he's obviously talking about saved and unsaved in that scenario. But he helps to explain to us that obeying God is to experience life. That's why 1 John chapter 1 will call it the word of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. To not obey God is to pile on wages that leads to death. Death is separation from God. It could mean physical death, because the Bible talks about that in 1 John chapter 5, verse 16, that it is a sin that leads to death. And 1 Corinthians chapter 11 talks about that, that if I partake of the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner, some of us get sick and some of us die. So it does address that. But understand that when a person willfully chooses not to do what God says, I'm going to put it on back burner, man, I'll figure it out, and I just ain't got no time to come to church or serve and all that stuff. By not doing nothing, they choose not to come to church. They choose not to serve. They choose not to give because they choose right now, I'm not going to do it. So even though they weren't going out and saying, I'm going to spend the money in all kind of crazy ways, I'm going to go down to Louisiana and gamble. They didn't say all of that. They didn't plan to go do all of that. They just didn't do what God told them to do. They just didn't love their wife that they were supposed to. They just didn't respect their husband and keep him elevated in their home. They didn't submit to him, let him have the way that did not violate God's word, but they didn't agree with it. They didn't back up and let him do what he needs to do as the head of their home. They didn't, as a man, love my wife unconditionally, wash her with the word. I didn't train up my children and discipline them in the Lord. I was too busy, man. I had to work. And God says, you've let a terrorist in. To not obey God is to be separated from him. The Spirit of God stops influencing the life of a person. That's why the wages of sin is spiritual death. The Spirit of God is a seed there, but he's not a powerful influence there to move us in the direction we need to go. So we've given room, and that flesh now can influence us and control us. Paul is saying in Romans chapter 7, the thing I want to do is the thing I do not do. But because I choose to walk in the Spirit, chapter 8, I now am no longer a slave to the flesh. So if I choose not to let the spirit grow up in me because I'm committed to obey God, the flesh becomes a huge part of influencing my life. And Satan now has a chance to influence us to do wrong. Look at Ananias and Sapphira. They knew what to do. They chose not to do it. And because they chose not to do it, Satan influenced them to lie. The terrorists walked right in and they died. Oh, look at Peter, man, and he's walking with Jesus, hearing the word of God directly from Jesus. You're not going to die. You're not going to die. Because he chose not to listen to what Christ was saying, Satan influenced him. We act like Satan is just, you know, waiting for us to just become the worst husband, the worst wife, the worst father, the worst mother, and then Satan just going to tear everything up. No, 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 no. In Genesis chapter 4, God told Cain, Satan is at your door crouching. Folks, we can't let this terrorist in. We can't. We have to take the word of God seriously and never alter it. Oh, folks, it's a sword. Got to study it carefully. And you will be accused of a lot of things, but you stay focused. Now, look at this. He says, you shall not eat of it or even touch it, lest you die. And God is not popping out of the sky to say anything. He's already spoken. There's nothing else to say. This whole conversation is going on and God knows all about it. But the serpent said to the woman, you certainly will not die, creating doubt. No, God knows well that the moment you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like gods who know what is good and what is bad. What is he doing? The same thing that led him to sin. If you look at Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28, this is the same attitude that moves Satan to sin, and Satan is trying to create that in Eve. She's carrying on a conversation with Satan. Many Christians do that today. They talk to Satan all the time. And they say things like, I cast you out, Satan. Don't talk to Satan. Talk to Jesus. At the sound of his name, demons tremble. Don't talk to Satan. When they were arguing over the body of Moses, Michael the archangel, he did not talk to Satan. He went to the Lord God. He wasn't about to play with this. Satan is the most powerful angel that God created. He can stir up all of the people that Job traded with to come against Job in a day. He could create a tornado, destroy Job's home. He could take Job within 1 inch of his life. Don't talk to Satan, folks. Talk to Jesus. He sits at the right hand of the Father to talk to God for you, to make intercession for you, to answer prayers for you. The Holy Spirit intercedes for you when you can't pray by the very groans of your heart. Get away from this terrorist. He wants to destroy your marriage, your home, your life. We'll pick this up again. Remember, be on terrorist alert and safeguard your home.
That's a powerful word, Dr. Cannings. Folks, it's imperative that we stay in God's Word every day. This is the best safeguard for our families and homes. And as always, I'd like to encourage you to obtain a copy of the lessons so you can learn from them again or pass them on to a loved one. And don't forget that Power Walk also offers many biblical resources that are designed for your season in life. Here's how you can reach us. Log on to powerwalkministries.org. That's powerwalkministries.org. Or call us 281-260-7402. That number again is 281-260-7402. Thank you for your decision to join us today. Have a blessed day, and remember, to obey God is to experience Christ.